Good morning, church. Welcome. Well, we're into a brand new month again. Summer's going by very quickly, and kind of glad in a way that the heat has kind of dissipated a little bit. Anyways. What? Yeah, 5 months till Christmas. How many of us here are kind of getting a little tired of all that heat? You know, it's not even the heat. I think it's the rain. There's no rain, and when you have that extensive heat without the rain, it can get pretty dry. Amen? Not so good. And especially if you're trying to keep a big yard nice and green, or flowers, or even a garden, you know, any kind of a plant that you're trying to look after without rain, it's watering seems to be a never-ending chore. How many of us can say, man, it's like every day when it's so hot, you have to water. But you know, even if you continue to water faithfully every day the things you have in your yard, it still does not grow and it does not produce like it does when you get a good rain. Everybody on board with that one? Amen. You know, what I'm trying to say here this morning is there's nothing that can compare, nothing better for bringing in a big harvest or for having a beautiful garden than rain. And you know, last week, Cam and I were talking about this, and Cameron said something to me that kind of caused something to click on the inside of me. And he said, this is what he said, I don't know exactly what the rain does, but it's almost as if it's electrically charged. When it falls from the heavens, it's like it brings a charge to the soil and a charge to the plant. And you know, I couldn't stop thinking about these words. And the Holy Spirit kind of showed me a parallel between the natural rain and the supernatural rain. That's what I want to share with us this morning. So we always need to let Scripture interpret Scripture. Amen. I think it's important for us to see and to realize that whatever there is in the natural, because God created all things, it comes from the spiritual. So whatever is in the natural, there is also one in the spirit. And sometimes, you know, and it can be the smallest little thing, but when you look at something in the natural and you're tearing it apart, remember, always take that. And that's a lot of times how the Holy Spirit speaks to me, is when I begin to do both. I begin to rip apart things, begin to ask myself questions. Okay, if this is what rain does in the natural, and this is how rain falls, this is, what about the spirit? Where is that parallel to in the spirit? Because there's always a parallel. And so this morning, I want to talk to us about the natural rain and the spiritual rain, and I want to show us what the Lord showed me. So what we need to know and understand that, and this is kind of what I was thinking along the lines I was thinking of, was that if in the natural a rain is so much greater for our crops, our gardens, whatever, than just water from a well or water from a slough or wherever you get your water from, then that means that in the spirit there has to be also rain. There also has to be rain. And we need to understand this, and that the spiritual rain is just as important, if not more important, than the natural rain to us who are in the spirit. Now, for those of us today listening, not necessarily you sitting here, but for those of us who maybe don't fully understand what, first of all, a spiritual seed is, because really we're talking about seeds this morning. I mean, your garden is seeds. Your grass is seeds that have grown up. Your flowers are seeds that have grown up. In fact, think about it for a minute. Everything in this world comes from a seed, even you. So we need to understand how seeds grow. We need to understand it in the natural. As much as in the natural, we need to understand it in the spiritual. And we need to, first of all, talk about what is a spiritual seed. We know what a natural seed is. I mean, you want carrots, you plant carrot seeds. You want potatoes, you put a potato in the ground. These are seed. We understand natural seed. So what is a spiritual seed, and where do you plant that seed? Obviously, you don't plant it in the earth. Mark chapter 4, Jesus is teaching a parable. And here he is referring not to natural seed in this parable, but to spiritual seed. And it talks about how the sower goes out and sows. First of all, who is the sower? The one who's planting the seeds. The sower can be you, it can be me, it can be your pastor, it can be a program you're watching on TV. The sower sows the seed. But ultimately, all seed comes from God. Even though you sow it, it's not your seed. It came from God. Now, the seed that Jesus is referring to in Mark chapter 4 here is the word of God. Sower goes out to sow. Some fell along the wayside, some fell on rocks, some fell, and eventually some fell in good soil, and the harvest and the plants produced and produced a harvest. So we know that Jesus is really referring here, because then later on, the disciples ask him about this parable, and Jesus explains. Not in all cases does Jesus explain parables, only a few times does he actually go into detail. So he explains to his disciples why. So you know, you got to understand this. If there was a couple of parables that Jesus took the time to explain in depth, not all of them, you got to know that those ones are the important. Because Jesus had to make sure that they understood what he was saying. So the one that he does explain quite in depth is the parable of the sower, the sower who sows the seeds. And that's found in Mark chapter 4. So I encourage you this week, if you want to go back there, or you should, read it. We're not going to read it for sake of time here this morning. But we do know that Jesus is not referring to the natural seed. He is referring to the spiritual seed. He is referring to the word of God, or God's truth. But I need to add here that to the New Testament saints, how many of us are New Testament saints? The word that is being sown here, and the words, is the gospel of grace. You can interpret it with the gospel of grace as the word of God. It is not the law. It is not the law. It is the truths about what Christ has done for us, in us, through the cross. These are seeds of life. And Jesus was talking about the sower sowing the seeds which brought life, a harvest of life. So in the new covenant, we're not talking about the seeds from the old covenant. In fact, the law produces, the Bible says, the words, or the words of the law under the old covenant bring what? Judgment. It was the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of death, the Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians. But the new covenant are God's words of grace, which brings justification, and it is the ministry of no condemnation, the ministry of life. We looked at that last week. So the spiritual seeds that Jesus is referring to in this parable are words of life, which are the words of the gospel of grace, because the law does not bring life. So if we want a harvest of life, we must plant seeds of life, right? If you plant the law, you are not going to harvest life. It is the ministry of death, the ministry of condemnation. So first of all, where do we plant the seeds? Into what soil? Well, Mark chapter 4 tells us, once again, that the heart is the soil where the spiritual seeds are planted. Now, I don't think I'm teaching anybody anything new here, but I'm going somewhere, so hang in there. Furthermore, at the end of this parable, Jesus said to his disciples, now, if you do not understand this parable, he was saying, if you do not understand the way of seed time and harvest, how are you ever going to operate in the kingdom of God or understand God in any way? Because that is God's way. Seed time and harvest. Or sowing and reaping. It is God's way of doing things. Like I said, everything, all life, began with a seed. even you and I, human life, begins with a seed. It is God's design. It's God's way. We didn't come up with this. The Big Bang didn't just happen, and the seeds were just, I'm not sure where they came from, but it's God's design. And he's saying to them, if you do not understand the very principal way of God and the way he works, how is it that you will understand any of his ways? So it's important, and that's why Jesus took the time with this particular parable to really explain it well to his disciples. So ask yourself this for a moment. Think about it. Where would you and I be without seed? Where would the world be without seed? We would not be. And when Jesus created, first, in way back, if you go back in the book of Genesis and read chapter 1, 2, 3, and so on, it says that he created all of the trees and the fruit and the seed therein. There was seed. God provided seed way back in the Garden of Eden. And aren't you glad he did? Because if there was no such thing as seed, we would be extinct. There would be nothing green anymore because everything has its cycle. Thank God for seeds. But seeds need water to grow. How many of us know that? Seeds need water. And that's where I want to go today. I want to talk about the rain, the spiritual rain. It's very despairing in the natural. When we see the grass, the trees, the flowers, all of nature around us just shriveling up and dying, turning brown, turning yellow. And, you know, even now the grass is so dry that it hurts your feet to step on it if you don't have shoes with crunches under your feet. It gets pretty, and you know what? It doesn't take long for that to happen, does it? A couple of weeks of real heat without the rain. So drought, and that's what drought is, not only affects the beauty of the earth, but it in turn affects our food source. Not only our crops for food, but also the livestock, the animals. Everything depends on water, which in turn affects the whole economy. So we can honestly say that everything goes round by water, round and round. And so when there's a drought, it affects everything. Well, so it is in the spirit. When there's no spiritual rain, things are affected. Things are affected. And so as important as rain is in the natural, which we just looked at,